Praise God. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, you know, we have an important thing to look at this morning, really, very important. I'd like to invite you to really give this your full attention, because really this is a vital thing that I'm going to share. We have the old covenant and the new covenant, and many people are lost in the old covenant. They're living with rules and regulations, and they're living like a roller coaster type Christianity, where they feel good, they feel happy, they feel as if everything's okay, but they need to try a little bit harder. Well, you know, trying harder isn't going to do it. That's the wheel of defeat. Trying harder, I fail again, I'm going to try harder, I'll fail again, I try harder, I fail again. That's not the New Testament. And I just want to look into that now as we turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, and let's read from chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Paul is writing to them as if, and he's being ironic, because they know him very well. And he's asking, do you want a letter from someone high up in the church to qualify me before I come to you, before I speak to you, before I minister to you? Really, is that what you need? They knew Paul. Paul had established the church there. They knew who Paul was very well. And so he's writing this in an ironic way. He says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Known and read by all men. In other words, we're the epistles. As believers, our life is an epistle. So if your friends want to know about what's this gospel all about, what's this Jesus all about, well, they look at your life. And they can see Jesus in you. That's what he's saying here. So the people who know us should see Jesus in us. They should be able to read Jesus' life in us. And so that way, we become an epistle to those family members, those friends. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills. So this thing of, I'm going to try harder, I'm just going to try harder. This is what I mean by, they've got a lot of Moses and a little bit of Jesus. A little bit of the Spirit, but a lot of Moses. And you see, that's what modern life is like. Because we're conditioned that way. When, you know, you go out and take a test, you know, you have to get a certain mark to pass the test. When we heard of Ruach and his testimony there, you know, it was, you'd had a certain mark, you came top of the class. Well, you had, you know, achieved a certain mark. And so we're used to being rewarded for that which we do. But the gospel isn't like that. This is the beautiful thing. And this is what people find it hard to enter into. The gospel isn't like that. In the gospel, it's not a measure of what you've done or how good you've been, how much hours of prayer you put in, how much study you did of the scripture. That's not how we achieve our place in the body. That should result, don't misunderstand, that should be a result of us being in the body. But most people look at it as a way to be in the body. They have a little bit of Jesus and a lot of the law, a lot of Moses. And so this is the thing that we need to make sure and change. We have to change this. You know, Jesus said, if you think about something, you're guilty of doing it. Now, I'm going to disappoint some of you this morning, possibly, but you ought not to be disappointed. But the truth is, I think on holiday, I might have killed about 3 people. I had bad thoughts. I had bad thoughts. That's the truth. I admit it. I confess it. We're on the motorway. And a bloke just cut up in front of me in the car. From the slow lane, he pulled up. I was in front of a car in front. He just pulled up in front of me. Then he went back into this lane. And then I overtook. I just, you know, driving carefully, overtaking. And now he's staring at me. He's staring at me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The thought that entered my mind was, sit back in your chair, darling. And I'd watched this film while we were on holiday with that bloke, Clint Eastwood. And he says, you think you're lucky, punk. And he has this gun, you know. And I just pictured, this came into my mind. Micah, slide back in the chair. I pulled the thing out. There you go. This will resolve that little issue. I can get on with my nice drive. I'm sorry, everyone. It's entered my mind. I'm sorry. I confessed to you this morning. When I was 16 years old, this is what we're like. We're humans. Let's not pretend. When we were 16 years old, I had a girlfriend, the one I went into the church. And you remember the story, my testimony. She was my girlfriend. I found out a boy pinched her. On her behind. A boy actually pinched my girlfriend on the behind. Cheeky, all right. I went round his house. I knocked his front door. His parents answered the door. I said, I'd like to speak to so-and-so. He came to the front door. I took a knife out of my pocket. I stuck it in his throat. I said, if you ever do that again, you'll feel steel inside of you. 16 years old. Oh, yeah, I was very, very clear about things. Now, I've shocked some of you, haven't I?
No. You're human.
I'm a human being. And one who was prone, my nickname was Steve Rage. That was my nickname. And not talking about things. Because my dad, we run the boxing club. Good at boxing. I like boxing. I just liked it. And I had that in me, that fire. You know, that was a... Well, we're human beings, prone to weakness. Here's the thing. Never, ever try and define your spiritual position by your flesh, because you'll always mess up. And the enemy will always have you on this wheel of failure. You failed, you succeeded. You failed, you succeeded. You fail. Oh, you have a good week. You prayed every morning. You were in the Word. Oh, you're having a good week. You're having Friday night. Oh, dear me, something, some thought came in. I don't define myself by my thoughts, because the enemy plants thoughts in our minds. You see, you can have a wicked thought come into your mind. It's not sin. The sin is then indulging in that wicked thought. The wicked thought comes into the mind. It's a plant by the enemy. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. And if you're vulnerable in an area, he'll throw a thought in there, a temptation. You see, suggestion is his power. The strongholds of Satan are in the mind, in the reasonings and the imaginations. This is why it's so important to be in the Word, listening to the Word, schooled by the Word, and living by the Word, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12. This is why this is vital. And there's no victory without that. You see, this is the weakness of the religion of Christianity. The religion of Christianity is about doing those external things that make it seem as if we're living the Christian life. And it, for some people, it's different for each one of us. But for some, it's coming to church, always being in church, which is the right thing to do. If you're not, there's problems. But, you know, coming to church and being in church isn't necessarily proving anything. But it's coming into church, it's taking communion, it can be all those good things, and still not living in the victory that Christ has given for us. Still being bound in the flesh, under the law. So what God is saying to us is this, in the New Testament, the life of the Spirit is the life for us now. Where when a thought comes in, because the mind is trained, the mind has been changed, what do? I want to bless that man in the car. The temptation was there for a split second. Move back, Micah. But you know what? Father God, bless him. Father, bless him. Bless his family. Bless him on his journey. There you go, sir. You want to go ahead of me? There you go, sir. That's the wisdom now. See, that's wisdom. There you go. After you, sir. And I'm praying for them to be blessed. Now, that's the life of the Spirit. A life of gentleness, a life of peace. Actually, the strong life is now, you say, you know what? I run away. I could knock you out, but I'm going to run away. Don't stress the knock you out bit. But the flesh is always trying. I run away because it's the life of the Spirit. So let's go back to the text here, because it goes on. But if the ministry of death, which was the law, the law establishes right and wrong. The law is the thing that shows our weakness. The law says that you fail, that you have failed, and that you now need the sacrificial system of the Old Testament to make amends for your failure. That's why they had the Day of Atonement and the atoning sacrifice. That was the ministry of death that Paul is talking about. Written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, which is the Old Testament covenant has passed away. It's over. The temple was destroyed, 70 AD, it's finished. Remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, I can be free. I can freely confess to you this morning what I've just confessed. Why? Well, because I'm not trying to pretend to be something I'm not. I'm not trying to pretend to be anything I'm not. I'm a work in progress like every one of us. And my boasting is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. My boasting isn't in my works. What have I got? I have nothing to boast in apart from Jesus Christ and His work in me and through my life. That's my boast. If I give a testimony of how bad I was, that's more to the glory of how good Jesus is. Amen. More to His glory that someone who is as wretched and as foul as me could be saved by His love and His compassion and His beautiful grace. He loves me. He loves me so much that He died for me, and He loves you so much that He died for you. And this is a beautiful thing, His love. And it's this love which is compelling us to reach others with this great gospel. Amen? So I have nothing to boast in, and I don't mind sharing a testimony. I certainly don't want to spend too long talking about it. But, you know, I share it for the sake of giving glory to the Lord. And proving that we don't need to be living in the condemnation of works. So what? If a thought pops into your mind, so what? Say, I'll use that thought as a springboard to Jesus. And do what the New Testament tells us to do. Come with me to, let's go into 2 Corinthians 5:17. A familiar verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. I'm a new creation. Utterly new creation. Totally new. Well, I don't feel like I still have the old thoughts. No, I'm a new creation. I'm no longer in condemnation. I'm completely new because of Jesus and His beautiful gospel. You see, this is why the religion of Christianity is such a dangerous thing. The religion of Christianity makes it look as if it's Christian. I liked Billy Graham, you know. I thought Billy Graham was an excellent preacher. What a great man, Billy Graham, and the preaching that he would give. And, you know, Billy Graham would often say it like this. You can have just enough inoculation. You can have just enough of a disease If you go to certain countries, you have to have an injection, and they give you a little bit of the disease to allow your body to build up antibodies to ensure that you don't catch the real thing. Well, the religion of Christianity is like that. You can have just enough of Christianity, the things of Christianity, to ensure that you never really get the real thing. Now, that is a serious thing. How can you tell? Well, if you feel no, I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say this instead. Let's go to Romans. No, let's Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3. Verse 10. You see this same verse in Ephesians, but in Colossians 3:10, it says this, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're a new creation, and we've got to put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We've got to do that. How do we do that? In the Word. Being in the Word. Listening to what the Word says. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Spending time with God in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What should I do, Lord? Who should I speak to? Lead me, Lord. Lead me through this life. What should I do? What job should we be doing? What could I do here? Where should I go? Who should I be? What, Lord? You show me. Direct my path. That dependency on the Holy Spirit. Because we're a new creation. Put on Christ as you would put on a coat. It's an act of the will, and then it becomes automatic. You know, when I go downstairs for breakfast, I don't know that I do it sometimes, but every morning I do it. I put on, some shorts or long trousers or whatever it is. I always put something on, though. But I've never not put anything on. I've always done it. But the point is, I don't remember doing it. It becomes automatic. And in the same way, we're to put on Christ. So that when the challenges come, and they come in our mind, and the thoughts, the reasonings, what we do is we check them. We say, well, now, is this trying to get me in the flesh, in the law, trying to get me filled with doubt, trying to get me to, possibly prove that I've been a good Christian or not? Is it getting me thinking that way? Or is this leading me to the liberty that I have in Jesus? And how I discern that is I say, well, I'm going to put on Christ. And when I put him on and his thinking on and I yield everything to him, it becomes clear which is which. But first of all, when you first put that on, the coat, as it was, of righteousness, which God has put on us, but as he said, you put on Christ, and he says in Ephesians, put on Christ. What he's saying is, take everything on board of Christ. Nothing of the flesh. Take on board the things of the Spirit. Assess everything that way. Someone comes to you with an opportunity, and it may look like a good opportunity, but it's not a good opportunity. It's a deceitful thing. Check everything out. When I was running a business, I used to run a business, and we were involved with a manufacturing company, and we had the rights to import these products from Europe, And we were involved in this manufacturing company working on a product for hospitals. And so I got invited. We've been working with this company for some time, and I got invited to their manufacturing facility in Birmingham. And I went to this facility, and it was a beautiful facility, big manufacturing facility. All the machines were there, and I had a tour around the factory, and they showed me how they were making these various things, and, you know, it was excellent. And the proposal was that we joined with this company, and they were inviting us to join. And so we thought about it, you know, and obviously I was praying about this thing. And there was another company as well. So there would be three companies joining together. My friend was the managing director of this company. I was managing director of this company. And there was this manufacturing company. Well, as we're looking around, everything couldn't be better. And then we go into the managing director's office then for a nice meeting around this big table, you know. And I suss everything out, you know, I'm looking at everything to see what's what, and everything looks just nice. The accountants are there, and then there's this, you know, it just everything looks right. And I went back, I was very excited. And then we said, well, we've got to really now just go to the Lord, and let's just see, you know, what the Lord says. This is what it is to put on Christ, have everything involved in Christ, everything. And so, that night, we prayed, we sought the Lord. That night, I had a dream. I dreamt that the managing director that I met with in this company was having an affair with a lady with blonde hair, and they were having an affair in a hotel, and they were meeting just behind the company. The hotel was behind the company. Now, that's a pretty wild dream, isn't it? So either that dream is from God or it's not, and it's my imagination, or the enemy putting the thought in there to stop the blessing of this thing. Well, we thought about it, we considered it. I said, I'm not going to go ahead. Sorry, I'm not going ahead. I said, what? You stand to make, I mean, it was a lot of money. It didn't make sense not to go ahead. The promises were there on the table, the money was there, everything was there, and we just said, we're not going to do it. So I said, sorry, I'm not going to do it. And I advised this friend of mine from the London car, I said, listen, don't do it. He was a believer. I said, I don't think he's right. There's something not right. And I told him about the dream I had. Well, he didn't listen. He just went ahead with it. And as it turns out, several months down the line, well, I should say before, just after they went ahead with it, one of them drove up to visit me, said, oh, I was passing, I'd come and see you, with his new company car, which was a beautiful new gleaming Jaguar, you know, and he was so happy with his new car, you know, and so he wanted to show the car to me. And I said, well, you know, okay, I was sure that we'd done the right thing. Just a short time after that, it transpired that the managing director that we met with that day was having an affair with his secretary, and they were meeting in the Holiday Inn, which was positioned behind his manufacturing company. And the reason why they were getting companies in together was they were trying to get good companies with good cash flow, with good reputations. And they were using those companies, amalgamating those companies together, and then using that as leverage to get huge loans out from the bank and just bankrupt those companies. Take all the stock, bankrupt the companies. My friend, who had a manufacturing company for 30 years in the business and built up a tremendous reputation, lost everything. Everything lost. Because he didn't listen. You see how important it is to listen? You listen to the Holy Spirit, put on Christ. Well, how does that work out in the street? Well, God wants us to speak to people. We're the living epistles. So we put him on, and he uses us then to speak to people. People aren't coming into church, are they? But the church is going to them. Where does God live? In us. Yeah. Where's his address? Ruach. That's God's address. And so God is calling us to this great ministry. And it's a ministry not of condemnation, but of this Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit and having these tremendous blessings. And it's avoiding that legalism that comes from the old. Don't get involved in the legalistic. So many Christians are involved. They're caught in the trap of the legalistic. And that which appears to look good. It's always about looking good. And you know, let me give you a clue. If you meet one of those ministers, they never open up to you. They're always closed. They don't like talking at the end of the service. You see, some ministers, they won't talk to people. They don't talk to people. They don't open up. Christians, as I'm talking about it, just general Christians. We can be open with each other, can't we? I'm not trying to impress you. Jesus has done all that we need. We're just looking to Jesus. Amen? He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we're not trying to impress one another. We're looking to Jesus. We all need Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he loves us. And he has plans for us. Hallelujah. And we're okay with him. A-okay. Because of his blood. Washed for us. Hallelujah. We're in a great position. Let's just stand, shall we? Let's respond to the Lord. You know, I believe that every time the word is given, the Lord is ministering. And when the Lord ministers, I think it's important not to lose that. And let me just tell you this. When you go out and have coffee afterwards, don't be frivolous about what's gone on in the church. Don't be frivolous. Don't be casual with things. Speak about God. Encourage one another. Bless one another. Encourage one another. Speak positive, uplifting words. Amen? Don't be sarcastic. Let's not be sarcastic. I don't like sarcasm. Let's just encourage one another, lift one another up, build one another in the faith, love one another, soft and gentle, loving one another. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, then we come to you now in Jesus' wonderful name, this glorious gospel of his that we have embraced. Thank you so much for it. Father, I thank you for each precious person here this morning, so precious before you. Oh, you're so precious. Each one of you know this. God loves you. You're so precious to him. So precious to him. He loves you so much. Listen, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning and you want to respond to him now, just respond to him. Lift up your hand. Say, lift up your hand to him now and say, yes, and I'm responding to you now, Lord. I see hands lifted up. Thank you, Father God. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for tender hearts, Lord, willing to be molded by your word, by your truth. Father God, we submit ourselves to you and we ask this, that you would continue now to speak to us the rest of this day into eternity, that we would be your voice on planet Earth, that we would live in the liberty which you died to give us, which you rose again to show us. Thank you, Father God, for your life in and through your people. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.